This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I said, here we go again. It's the Cleveland Browns and it's first and 10. And Robin McCloud is joining us on the phone. He's got to be thinking, what did I get myself into?
Let's go to the phones. Ron McLeod, he's got a charity thing he's got to attend later on. So now he's on the phone, and he joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Usually he's in the Smart Choice Windows and More studios. You guys win a game, and you can't join us in studio at 9. I wanted Lyman to look you dead in the hairy eyeball and say something. Now he has to wait until next week, and it might be different because hopefully you guys win next week. But if you don't, it's like, man, it's an omen, Rodney. We can't have it. Hello.
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Morning, too.
I wish I could be in studio myself.
It's okay. You have a good reason.
Victory Tuesday.
Rodney, I think the thing that stood out on tape the most from what we saw was Grant Delpit tackling the biggest guy in sports, the biggest guy in all of football, and then telling him he was too small. That's what stood out to me.
Yeah, that was the mentality that we were on. You know, everybody that touched that field on Sunday understood the mission at hand. You know, defensively, when you talk about a running back, you know, with the caliber of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson factor, we knew it was going to, you know, be one of those violent, you know, tough games. And GD, you know, put that on full display early on in that game that set the tone for the team.
So you guys win that game, and how does it feel now going through the rest of the season? A lot of rumors surrounding the team, guys who could be on their way out. What are you guys thinking about now as a club?
For us, it's always been that approach of we just need one. You know, we were obviously in a funk over the course of these past, you know, several weeks, and, you know, we stuck together and we kept preaching, just get one. And we got it, and now, you know, winning is contagious, and we have to remember what it felt, obviously, after that great win that we had on Sunday, but more importantly, remember the in-between, you know, what it took for us to be able to come out victorious on Sunday. And so we're going to need more of that, obviously, going into this week, another AFC opponent. Who's playing well. And, you know, I believe somebody reminded me, you know, currently, you know, if the playoffs started today, they're in the seventh seed, right? And so that's kind of the mode that we're in. You know, we're in that playoff mode, and we just got to take it one game at a time. Can't look too far ahead, and the next matchup is the Chargers.
Rodney McLeod with us on the hotline. So if you could share with us what it's like to be on a team that has somebody like Jameis, because we see all the mic'd interviews, we see his emotion, we play those clips. Some of them can be damn right hilarious. Some of them can be, you know, really thought-provoking. What is it like to play for that? Because I can honestly, Roddy, I can see some guys tuning some of that out just because some guys don't need that. They don't need the locker room speeches. They don't need the hype speeches. But with Jameis, it seems like everybody is dialed in when he talks.
Yeah, that's Jameis. That is who he is. It's coming from a place of purity and genuineness. And so, you know, when you have that, you just understand this is who God has called him to be. And he's been consistent from the moment he's entered into this locker room. And he's just been a servant leader. You know, whatever's asked of him, he's willing to do. And so, you know, we love that about Jameis. Now, of course, there's some humor that comes with it, and we all joke about it with him, you know, and he's open to it. And so there's no secret to that. But, you know, you love everything that he represents. And, of course, you know, who wouldn't want to go to battle with somebody like that that has, you know, your best interests at heart and, again, is there, you know, just to be a supportive teammate in any facet of the game.
All right, that's the before the game, after the game messaging. What about what you saw on the field from Jameis? All of a sudden, it seemed like it was. The offense was the best it's been all year. But not only that, guys like Cedric Tillman making a ton of plays. Elijah Moore was making plays. Judy had some yards after the catch. It all seemed to came alive at the same time with Jameis.
Yeah, very timely. Very timely. And, you know, he prepares extremely hard. You know, we joke about his a lot of his antics, a lot of his prep work. he does a lot. And the old man can still spin it. You know, we all saw that on Sunday. I was just proud of not only, you know, his performance, but the entire offense, you know, knowing the scrutiny, you know, everybody on that side has been under, and to see them, you know, go out there and put on a show and really put the team on their back on Sunday, I would say, was impressive. And I know for them is encouraging. And, of course, we're going to need more of that. You know, it was just great complimentary football played on Sunday, and that's what it's going to take, you know, for us to run this table, you know, over the course of this second half of the year. But great, you know, first step for those guys, and again, you know, a lot of guys showed up in a major way on offense.
Rodney, where do you get the stones to call Jameis Winston old man when you are 4 years older than he is?
Hey, I could do that. You know, we all got the running joke. You know, there's a few of us that wear that title in the locker room. You know what I'm saying? I'm the OG. You got a couple pops in there. You got some unks in there. And then you got some old men. And so, you know, we don't run from it. I know Five would embrace it. Comes with wisdom. And it comes with a great badge of honor, too.
Rodney McLeod joining us on the show. So you get ready for the Chargers coming up next week. They're at home. They can run the football. They try to play tight defense. They have a better record than some people thought they would have. What's the challenge?
The challenge is, you know, you said it. You're playing a team who knows how to win football games, who's built around, you know, toughness, especially, you know, under, you know, the new head coach, Dean Harbaugh, and, you know, place the emphasis on running the football. They have an elite quarterback and Herbert. So, you know, it's going to be another grinded out, you know, tough man wins game. And who can outlast, the guy across from him? And so that's our approach is, you know, coming in, putting our hard hat on, getting to work throughout the week, and then making sure on Sunday it pays dividends.
Rodney, we saw Denzel leave the game. Obviously, JOK left the game. JOK did tweet something that looked to be a little more positive. I always wondered when it comes to players, do you stay in touch with guys that are away from the facility? Are you texting them positive thoughts? Are they giving you updates on that? Are you even thinking about football at a time like this, or is that something that comes way later?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely, you know, try to send your regards to, you know, those guys when something like that takes place. You know, whether it's something similar to JOK or, you know, someone that has to, you know, get surgery. And so, yeah, the team, you know, does a good job at, you know, just giving a brief, you know, update, especially on the case of JOK, where, you know, he had to be carted off, and we all know the severity of concussions around our league. And so I'm glad to hear that he is, you know, in better spirits. He's, you know, doing better. And we'll just have to, you know, monitor how, you know, things play out with him. But we know what he means to this team and this in the game of football in general right now. He's one of the more you know, younger phenoms on the defensive side of the ball. So hoping for a healthy and quick return for him.
Did you guys get a chance to talk to JOK after the injury?
No. You know, rushed immediately to the hospital, to my understanding, to, you know, do a proper evaluation on him just to make sure everything was functioning, you know, properly. And so just protocol. And glad to see again here, you know, doing well. I didn't see the tweet that he pushed out, but I'm glad he, you know, he gave everybody, you know, a good message.
What is it like to actually have to continue playing? I know you guys are paid to play football. That's your job. But at the same time, you just had somebody carted off, and you have no idea what the future is for him, what the situation is in the meantime. So what is that like? How do you shut that off? How do you not think about that?
Yeah, it really just puts things in perspective for you. You know, you never know in this sport when something – like this can occur for you. And so, you know, it's just, you try not to think about it. You know, you pray on it that, you know, every time you walk out in that field that, you know, you cross those white lines, you know, fairly healthy, right? Like there's no such thing as no injuries in this sport, but you hope that you can avoid those of the magnitude that we saw on Sunday. And that's just the reality of this sport. You know, guys put their bodies, you know, on the line for the game, for their teammates and for victory. And, you know, JOK is a guy that doesn't leave the field. We know how hard and how much this game means to him. And so, you know, again, you know, we just pray that, you know, he makes a proper return. But, yeah, you saw the glimpse of just, you know, what we as players, you know, fear the most and what is a reality in our sport. And that's the unfortunate side of it.
We have Rodney McLeod joining us on the show. Did you see the Trayvon Diggs spat with the guy Mike Leslie down in Dallas?
Yeah, I've seen it come across my social media. I've seen it in some of my group messages as well. So I did get to see it.
Would you like to ask this question, or do you want me to ask the question?
You can go.
Okay, I'm going to ask Rodney the question. Have you ever wanted to tell a media member you can answer D's nuts?
I feel like, yeah, of course. Who has it? But the thing is, who has the balls to do it? And Trayvon really, you know, he clearly had a lot to say, and he finished it off. Capped it off with that statement.
He was in full uniform. Yeah. That was the best part of it.
Can you believe
that? Was that a halftime? That was a halftime or something, or was that after the game?
How do you go? No, it was after the game. He went in the locker room and then came back out fully dressed, so he immediately checked his phone.
Yeah.
You got it. I mean, do you ever talk to any of the guys like, man, you guys can't. It's not a real website, guys. It's not real. This is not real life. Stop looking at that thing. It's going to eat you up.
Yeah, you got to breathe. You got to take a breath before, you know, you respond, you know. And in that moment, unfortunately, Diggs, he reacted instead of responding. Let the emotions, you know, get the best of him. Sure, of course, there's a lot of frustration built up behind that. And I think most of the time there is history that comes with it. So, this probably wasn't the first time that media member made a remark like that, whether it was to him specifically or just in that locker room. And the truth of the matter is the locker room gets a vibe from certain media members that, oh, you know, they're this type of person. they get identified. And so I'm sure the identity for that guy was not the greatest. And it was at a point of like the ultimate level of like frustration and I'm tired. And you know what? I'm going to speak my mind. Not saying that it's right because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to just let it go. But I know he was frustrated because at this point, you know, he's attacking your character on the field. All right. When somebody questions your effort, that hits a lot differently for a player.
Do any of the players ever say anything nasty about Lima?
I haven't heard him come up. So, you know, you good in these parts.
Don't worry, Ken's doing everything he can to make it worse for me every day.
That's not true. He's say over anything
there.
About you.
Kenny's
over, there.
Over in that locker room spreading his lies,
it's not
his
true.
Propaganda.
It's
I know,
not true.
I know how it is.
Not true. I don't even try to go in the locker room, but that's a totally different conversation that I'm not allowed to say because my media brethren will get mad at me for saying it. Rodney knows the truth. Thank you very much. Rodney, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
I appreciate it, guys. Till next time.
Yes, absolutely. Rodney McLeod, Cleveland Browns safety. On the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You got away with it.
You
should have had to say something.
Boy, that stuff on JOK and Denzel, I find really interesting because I just can't imagine if all of a sudden me and you are doing a radio show. That's a very different example. And, you know, Mitch, just use Mitch, for example, gets carted out of here. Yeah. And he's putting his thumb up in the air as he's leaving.
Why would Mitch get carted out of here?
And we're saying, you know, me and...
A radio accident. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, happens all the time. So the asbestos in that room, I don't know. So he gets carted out of there.
Wait,
and
whoa,
then we've got
mesothelioma.
Reckless speculation.
And then
freemesobook.com.
Yeah.
And then we have got to continue doing the show. Now, yes, I know there will be some rah-rah in this room that Mitch is gone, but some of us will be very, very sad.
Rah-rah in the room that Mitch is gone?
Well, they'll be fist-pumping, surely. But for other people...
Well, he's a Yankee fan.
...will be mindful of that. It's it would be tough to do the rest of the show.
And he's a Cowboys fan.
Duke Blue Devils?
You know what he's not currently?
What?
A 2020 anchor.
Yeah, that's right. Let's get to Jeff. Ladies and gentlemen... That is Rodney McLeod. Good stuff from him. I had to get this off my chest. Now, I didn't realize the Giants have marched out 12 guys on the field.
They did it twice yesterday so they could connive and kind of get around the rules so they could get the ball back.
Is it being noticed? So that's being noticed.
So it wasn't noticed on the broadcast, but on the Manning cast, they were all over it. They were all like, oh, they're doing this on purpose again. Just like what we saw with Oregon. Now, there was a lot more time left. So there's 2:47. So they got stoppages, and there was 2nd and 3, and they did it there because they're like, we're already going to give up a first down in a new series of downs. So let's just give them the first down now and put 12 men on the field and stop the clock again. And it worked. And Pittsburgh ended up giving the ball back to the Giants, who had a chance. And it's interesting. This continues to come up because we keep seeing it. I talked to an official before the game that I did at Akron this week, and they said it's all they're talking about in college football. All the officials
the 12 guys
and their
the field?
Coordinators are talking about this because they've already remedied it in college to where they're taking it back to where the clock was. So they're trying to remedy it so that you're not able to do what Dan Lanning did. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing it in the NFL, and this isn't something that just popped up this year. It's happened before. Everybody has some famous instances, especially with Bill Belichick, doing this, but I think this will be it. This will be it once and for all. Like next year, unless the NFL fixes this like this week.
See, my situation, I didn't realize this. My situation was just it's actually happened a couple times this year. When you only have two refs in youth football, a team will just throw a 12th kid out there just to see if you notice. It's amazing. And it happened, and it's happened a couple times to the point where it's like, hey, they're sneaking on behind you. I didn't know that was a... Yeah, that happened in Oregon.
I just love
that. And that happened here last night in the NFL. They do it in the pros.
The cutthroat mentality at that level where winning matters so much that you're willing to do that.
Well, the one situation it happened where I went up to the one ref, and I am... While I'm loud and angry and obnoxious with you, I tend to sweet-talk refs because I'm an assistant. I'm not a head coach. and they're only supposed to talk to head coaches. And I went up to him and I go, hey, are you a Browns fan? And he's like, and you know, this is in the middle of a losing streak. And the guy goes, unfortunately, yes. And I says, you remember that play they did with Johnny back in the day where he went over to the sideline and acted like he was talking to Kyle Shanahan and then he took off for a pass? It wasn't legal there. I can't imagine it's legal in youth football. He goes, oh, that's right. All right. And then they tried it again and they called it the next time. So it's like some of the stuff you just see, you just try to do it. You just try to do it. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that Brian Daboll did that. And you posted me to this, or the Warren Sharp tweet. And if it works, it works. But I don't know when they hem that in. Can they do that in the middle of a season? Like, they're doing it in the middle of a season in college football. Can you do it now?
Well, there's not a players union in college football that you have to go through to get rule changes and things like that.
But that's imagine true. The players would be fine with it, too. Like, now, because it's players represent both sides of it. So
let me
it's
ask
just
you this.
Being able to get everybody in the building at the right time to do all that.
Let me ask you this. Will Owen cuss me out from across the field on Saturday if I try such shenanigans?
I didn't think I was going to have to, but I will have a guy
on Sunday
that is counting how many people you guys have on the field. Because now you've played your hand, Mr. Carmen.
Well, I would never do anything like that.
Oh, of course I would never.
You could ask.
It's rivalry
friend,
week.
I run a clean program. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You
it will be Jim Schwartz and Harbaugh
down
with
to
you
these
and me.
Tactics?
No, hell no, I wouldn't stoop down to those tactics. No. Listen, we win clean or we don't win. Okay? You understand that? That's a clean program.
We'll see. I've put out some fillers to Ravenna and
you put them
maybe
fillers
a couple
up.
Other.
You train tapes?
Barberton, you know.
That's illegal in the Buckeye Youth Football League, buddy.
We ain't playing Buckeye Youth Football.
You
this
steal
weekend.
Tapes? Okay, can't no. trade them. Can you steal them?
I don't know. I told my son and his
notice
buddy.
Notice any drones over your practice?
No, not yet. I wasn't at practice yesterday. Liz had pink eye. I had to stay home with the boys. But I'll be at practice tonight, and I will be looking in the sky for them drones. So you better be careful. Avon Lake, Streetsboro, Sunday afternoon at the Shoe.
Remember the drones? We did that on the podcast. It was happening up in Toledo.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
What school was it?
Central Catholic.
It was a big rivalry. It was them.
And not
St. John. It was St. John. But yeah, they were using the drones, and the guy was an alumnus, and he basically admitted it afterwards.
Someone's got to tape the faces of the kids when they see the stadium. Because I don't know if any of them have seen the stadium. My son hasn't, and his buddy hasn't. I can't wait till they see the stadium.
They see on TV.
They haven't seen it live, and that's much different.
I'm
like, you guys have been to the Brown Stadium. Buddy, wait until you see that stadium.
You don't walk through the rotunda.
Twice the size.
On TV.
No.
No.
They got to get the Ohio State marching band. Give them the whole.
Oh, I hope they play the music. Play the Le Regiment.
We're not having a skull session or anything.
No. Could. Got time.
All right.
I get down there pretty quick. I get down there in the vans and everything like that. Yeah, Sunday afternoon. Got a big game up along the lake with the Browns and Chargers. Got a big game down at the Shoe between the Rockets and the Shoremen. 5th and 6th grade. It's coming up. Wait until you get a load of Luke, man. You're going to love him. All right. I want to get to the Cavs coming up at 8:45. We also have this stadium business where I'm biting my tongue on certain issues with this stadium business here because I'm a bit bothered. And this doesn't even have to do with the Browns, really. It has to do with something else. I'm a little bit bothered by some of the things I'm hearing from some people at City Council. But let me ask you this. Who, when it comes to Denzel, it's a tricky issue because I think a lot of fans, Denzel's different. I think Denzel breaks through because he's from here. He's a former Buckeye. He went to Nordonia. I think there's a lot of people in the region. His mother is very involved in the community. I mean, so many different aspects. I've never met her. She seems like a wonderful person. And I know she's very involved in the community. And I know there's a lot of people that rely on them. And they help with community and charitable organizations. And I think there's a lot of people who care very deeply about Denzel here. And he's the one. And yes, it does matter. I mean, I know there are people who would be like, well, if he was from Temecula, California, would you care? Maybe, but it is different when the guy's from the region. We can be honest with each other there. And with him having another head injury, it's a conversation that begs concern every time we talk about the guy. And it's like, well, how much time is there left with a guy like Denzel, Anthony? Because you said somebody else is just retiring now because of head injury.
Yeah, backup quarterback at Michigan, Jack Tuttle.
Okay.
Said after five concussions. Now, he also doesn't have a pro career in front of him. He's also not very good in college. So
okay, well, you could be a little nicer about that. The guy just retired, for crying out loud.
I'm just saying, if he were going to be
a little nice.
If you're going to be a top 10 draft pick, is he retiring? Probably not. And I think that's all part of it. Like, Denzel is playing at such a high level that he's nowhere near, you know, an age where it's like, well, there's been a drop off, so I've already made so much money, you know, for the safety of me to help my family and for me to be there the rest of their lives. No, I mean, he's still playing at such a high level that it makes sense. Denzel, like, I totally understand why, you know, he's taken it, unfortunately, to phrase it this way, concussion by concussion. And none of them have looked like the Tua concussions. Right? Like, all of these have been, I didn't even know he left the field. I didn't even see the play.
I didn't either.
Now, maybe that should make you just as nervous if he's
experiencing
these. I was
watching on TV, I didn't notice, and I was taking notes, so
well,
I apologize.
Yesterday, did maybe it happen right before halftime? He played one play in the third quarter, and then he was out.
Okay.
So yeah. Maybe it happened before halftime, and he thought, hey, I can go, and then he couldn't go.
I think it's of great concern. I think it's of great concern here. And I find it weird. Like, I can't sit there and go, he needs to retire. I mean, it's his life. And he's smart. He's a grown man now, and it's 2024. Like, we understand this. It's not what it was in the 1980s and 1990s and things like that. This is different.
He's also equipped with more information
than
we've ever had on concussions and CTE. So it's not as if, and you've heard Denzel, he is as thoughtful as it gets when it comes to this stuff. He's explained what doctors have told him about recovery time, and he has sought out a number of professionals to get their perspective on the risk associated with all this, long-term risk, short-term risk. And his takeaway every single time is, I'm going to let it heal, and then I'm going to keep playing. So, obviously, not all the players are on the same page on this. Some guys have walked away. I don't know if there's a magic number. Like, is there a certain number of concussions where that would be it? Because this is as high documented numbers as I've seen in the NFL. Documented.
It's my
Brett
belief.
Favre said he had hundreds.
It's my belief that there were probably way more in the 1990s and early 2000s and before that.
Yeah.
They were just not documented.
And they just kept going out and playing.
I believe the game is as safe as it's ever been. I think it's as safe as it's ever been at all levels, the game of football. I do believe that the athletes have gotten bigger and faster and stronger. Maybe not bigger, but certainly faster and stronger. I think that because of that, there's a lot of things that, yeah, maybe it's a little bit more inherently dangerous because of the bodies that are playing it now that used to be playing it. I do think it's a safer game than what it was, but we know so much more. And yeah, that type of thing, it freaks you out a little bit. It scares you a little bit. Like, I'd love to beg him to put on a guardian cap and everything like that, but again, it's his life. He's a grown man, and I just have to accept these ideas. I just have to accept his decisions because it's his life. It's not mine, and it's not my business to beg him for it. I can't do it. Maybe I would feel a little bit different if my last name was Ward, but I can't.
Yeah.
Cavs won last night. They're 4-0, and we have a tough talking Donovan Mitchell about a one Darius Garland. Hit it.
I know it's only four games into the season, but he's going to keep playing like this. And I would like everybody who said he couldn't stay over there. And I know who a lot of y'all are and who wasn't on that side. You know, keep over here. You know what I mean?
Throughout the week.
Woo! Tough talking Donovan Mitchell. Thoughts?
He should be tough talking. They're undefeated. They're looking great. Well, Darius Garland looked like a
78
superstar.
78 games left to go in the season.
And Darius Garland looked like a superstar last night at MSG. An amazing fourth quarter. Outplayed all of those guys, including Jalen Brunson, the guy that's given them the most fits. He was taking it to all of them.
It was a great win, even though it's fourth game of the season. I don't know, though, if it's the test that some people thought it was going to be. I think that the Knicks are working some things out with their lineup after their trade that they made with, you know, getting Mikal Bridges during the offseason. So I think because of that, I don't want to make... I'm glad they're 4-0. I'm always going to be happy that they won. I just don't want to make too big of a deal about it just yet. Like, if they go and they beat Orlando on Friday, I mean, goodness gracious, if they start off 6-0, for crying out loud, if they beat the Lakers when they're in town tomorrow and then beat Orlando on Friday, I think I'm going to be pretty excited over all this. Even if they You know, if they drop it, I won't be too crazy or anything. Like, I think we're in a feel-out moment, but a lot of this is probably to be expected. You brought back basically everybody. There were no moves to really be made during the offseason. Now, I think there very well could be some moves coming up this trade deadline if things don't progress nicely.
And but if Darius Garland's, like this.
Yeah, if Darius Garland's going to put up 35 every single, 34, I'm off by a point. If he's going to put up 34 every time out there. And
he was a killer last night in that fourth.
Then I don't think there's going to be many changes that are needed. But I think that right now, hey, you're 4-0. Atkinson has made a tremendous difference here. Already, I think he's made a tremendous difference here. I think that with what they have coming back, you know, with Darius Garland, I think the question is for a lot of fans, are you willing to wipe the slate clean with him? Are you willing to wipe this? Because there was a lot of people who were fit to be tied with Darius Garland down the stretch last year, but most of all last year. I mean, he started the season banged up, got slapped in the face, got eye-raked a few times. I mean, there was just so many bad things that happened to him physically that I think that affected his play. I think that he became nervous going through the lane and trying to kick out, trying to take those shots. I think he became nervous because of that. I think it made him a little bit more hesitant because he was just getting beat up so badly physically, Anthony.
Yeah, I think the fans are going to be willing to do everything that you're talking about, that Donovan Mitchell was talking about in that clip. They're going to be willing to do that, all of that, until the playoffs. Then it's a different story. So it's going to be awesome if they play like this, and it's an equal opportunity offense right now. Mm-hmm. Seems like every game it could be somebody different. That's a lot of fun. Then you get Max Strus back at some point. They'll have to figure out the rotations. But Kenny Atkinson is I think, creating that. If you're wondering what Kenny Atkinson's bringing to the table, I see Cavs fans talking about X's and O's. There's like six sets in the NBA these days the teams run. I'm not worried about the X's and O's and the sideline out of bounds plays. Like, they all borrow from each other.
Yeah, but we were worried about the sideline out of bounds plays last year.
Yeah, I think players.
At what point do I take care of that or believe in that?
I mean, all these teams have five, some of them eight assistants to come up with that stuff. I'm really not worried about that stuff. What I am thinking more is, can they think big picture, and can guys like Darius Garland be confident in the playoffs? He's had a number of bad playoff games. And remember, what happens in the playoffs? They allow physicality. They allow you to get away with hand-checking all of a sudden. It's not as easy. The tempo is down. There's not as many possessions. There's more pressure. And Darius has kind of crumbled under that in the postseason. He's played in three different playoff series, and more times than not, it hasn't been pretty for him. So I think we're willing to do all of that, and if he plays well all regular season, it's going to be great. We're going to judge how this and whether or not this works based on the playoffs. I mean, they could win 60 games in a regular season. If they just go down in the first round of the playoffs, nobody's going to care about the 60 wins.
Is Darius Garland untouchable again to fans?
Like before this deadline?
Because last year I was one of the ones saying, like, hey, he's untouchable. As the season went on, it was harder and harder for me to say that.
He will be untouchable from a fan's perspective if they're the one seed or two seed in the Eastern Conference. And one thing I've said and been pretty consistent about, like, I've been looking for angles to retool the team to get the wing that they so desperately need, because I think that's the only way eventually they're going to win in the postseason. But I've also said at the same time, like, it might not be any great moves to be had yet, and they're going to win a ton of regular season games because they have continuity. Philadelphia won't have that. You're clearly seeing the Knicks. It's going to take them a long time to figure out their team. They've moved a ton of assets and divided that team. Remember, they've gone away from that Villanova, the super college team. Like, they've already traded DiVincenzo. He was huge for them last year.
Yeah.
Because they're not content on just regular seasons. They want to get better in the postseason. So much of this does boil down, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun regular season. And so it probably guys are going to be untouchable because they're going to win so many games.
This doesn't eliminate the need for a wing, though, is what you're pointing. So if they're going
to
need that,
get wings.
Then what you're also telling me is that we can't get married to these guys during this regular season.
I never do, but fans do all the time. They make that mistake all the time.
Oh, you're telling them bad news that they're not going to like hearing.
What do you mean? What's bad news?
When you're 4-0 and you're telling me not to hitch my wagon to any of these guys, except for Donovan and Evan Mobley, then people are not going to like hearing that. Because then, well, you're 4-0 and all you're doing is sowing the seed of discontent. No, you're having a conversation that they are having over there at their offices at the field house.
Yeah,
or, I mean, you know, down the street at Independence, wherever they might be at that point.
Well, then who are we keeping an eye on could be the movable commodity, because we've...
Darius or Jarrett?
Well, for the most return? Been Darius, right? For the last year, but... And Jarrett's bounced back and forth, and then he was an all-star last year, right? Or played like one. But they've went to... Him and Evan are not on the floor at the same time anymore, right?
They're staggering them a lot
more. And that's
more.
The right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. If we're saying any X's and O's...
Well, if we're getting a divorce from somebody, I need to know who it is so that I can prepare myself. Can you tell me?
There's two guys that you're not gonna move away from. You're not going to move away from Evan, and you're not going to move away from Donovan, and you're not going to move away from George Niang because we need him on the show.
That's
so there's
true.
Three guys. Okay. There's three guys that we cannot part with. Everybody else... I mean, you kind of serve a purpose. And the purpose is either on the floor or as a trade piece. I already caught hell yesterday because I said, yeah, you need a guy who's defensively as good as Isaac Okoro. And then I got ripped up and down.
I know you're telling me what I need to hear right now, but that's tough for a fan.
Now, of course, because you're 4-0. No one wants to hear anything that could be perceived negative. But you could trade those guys for pieces that are going to help you break through against a team like Boston. It's not about getting rid of them because they don't play well. The only way you can... move away from them as if they play well and that you can entice a team to give you a wing that you need if they are trying to build. So the better they play, the bigger conversation it becomes of whether or not you're willing to part with a guy who is a fan favorite in a lot of ways. I mean, they drafted Darius Garland. There's a lot of people that want to like that guy. It's a very difficult conversation to have, but it's a conversation that they are having.
I know we got
to
go. One key difference you asked me between Atkinson and the bigger staff, it's Okoro. Like, Okoro is like the 10th or 11th man in this rotation right now. That was not the case. I mean, JB always went for defense, always was looking for ways to get him in, and they were trying to get him to become a better player. He's like a lost man right now, and he looks lost.